Hey all, it is I, Anthony the Canadian Guy, and welcome to WrestleSode, the solution to your wrestling information problems. WrestleSode is a member of the WinColumn Sports Network, so remember to check us out at WinColumnSports.ca to be kept up to date on everything happening here in Alberta in the world of wrestling. Today, we are talking RCW Cruel Intentions. It was an amazing show that took place in Calgary on Friday, March 6th at the Royal Canadian Legion No. 1, downtown Calgary. Continuing along with their storylines, this is leading up to their Madness show, which is going to be, Monster Brawl and Into the Darkness shows, I should say, which will be taking place on March 20th, which will be bringing in Impact Superstar Rosemary. But before we do get into the RCW Cruel Intentions show for the day, we just got a couple of quick things to talk about. It's going to be an incredibly busy month for the world of wrestling. I have a cool little announcement here. On Saturday, I will be traveling back down to Lethbridge, and I have set up a couple of different interviews. I'm going to be interviewing the stars of Pure Power Wrestling. I got a couple of them to agree to some interviews. It's just my introduction to people down there. I'm definitely going to be going back, but I thought it'd be really fun to go down for a night and interview a bunch of different people and see if we can't get some great interviews here over the next couple of weeks leading up to the PWA anniversary show, which will be taking place on March 28th. And PPW is also going to be having their show that'll be taking place on March 28th as well. There's so many shows that are going to be taking place on March 28th, but we'll get to that as we get to that, but PPW, PWA, RCW is running a show, Ringside out in Saskatoon, ECCW out in Vancouver, PCW out in Winnipeg, CWE out in Regina. Everybody's running a show on March 28th. It's crazy. Anyways, let's get talking about some RCW Cruel Intentions. It was an amazing show, and we'll hear about that right after this.
From Lanny McDonald to Daryl Sutter, Mark Messier to Cale Makar. Before you're a star, you've got to make it in the AJHL. On Saturday mornings, TSN 1260 takes an in-depth look inside the Alberta Junior Hockey League. Join Tyler Yaremchuk from 9 to 10 a.m. for previews, reviews, and interviews from around the AJ. Inside the AJHL, Saturdays from 9 to 10 a.m. only on Edmonton's sports leader, TSN 1260.
Hey everyone, Anthony here. I am joined once again with Paul from the YYC Wrestling Hub. Paul, how are you doing today, buddy?
Doing fantastic. Looking forward to talking about some wrestling. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic as well. Yeah, man, we had another two shows this week. So we're going to be starting off here with RCW Cruel Intentions, which took place at the Royal Canadian Legion No. 1 on March 6th, which was on Friday. It was a good little card here. It was a bit hot off their heels from their Wrestling Ain't Easy card, where they had the Godfather, and we had some really interesting storyline today. And spoilers, everybody, and I'm not going to say which championship it was, but something may have happened with a championship today, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. But overall, what were your thoughts on the show there, my friend?
I thought it was great. For his first show as commissioner, I think Vinny Fever did a great job. He's throwing those shirts out at the start. He's got a heck of an arm. He was reaching the back of the Legion.
Yeah, that's very true. So we should start off, we should say, now that there's no commissioner for RCW Calgary, now that Steven Stiles is stepping back into the ring, they brought in Vinny Fever, who is a current trainer over at the Workhorse Performance Center in Calgary. I should have their information up, which I don't have with me currently. But they were there. They were throwing out shirts to the crowd. He took over role as commissioner, so that'll be really interesting to see. It's always going to see a nice little shakeup going on here in RCW.
Yeah, it's always interesting to have a presence that's booking the matches, because even when Steven Stiles was the quote-unquote Calgary commissioner, he wore so many hats. He was the ring announcer. He was a sometimes wrestler. It's refreshing to have a full-time guy like Vinny Fever be there.
Yeah, absolutely. And we should also say that there was a couple of new people today. There was also a new ring announcer who was there. I didn't actually catch the gentleman's name. I hadn't seen him do the ring announcing anywhere else. But he did an okay job. I don't think he's quite the goose as of yet, but I don't think it's not easy to become the goose, and you can't do it necessarily over one show. Felt like there was some kind of jitters there. But overall, I thought he did a good job. I thought he had a good voice for it.
Hey, he wasn't taking anything from the crowd.
That's true. Hey, yeah, that's the one thing. He was a veteran in that regard. When people tried to insult him from the crowd, he was throwing it right back at them, and he got the crowd behind him. I can't necessarily repeat the exact things that they said on this podcast for explicit reasons and podcast rules, but whatever, you know what I'm trying to say. He was good at that part.
He was great at that.
He was great at the heckling and jeering part of everything. But also, Workhorse Performance Center was saying to anybody in the crowd who was in the crowd that night, if they wanted a free 1-day trial to try their first day at wrestling, to swing by. He gave everybody a card who was interested in it, and I picked up a card for us, my friend. We're gonna try our hand at least 1 day of wrestling, and I think that could be a lot of fun to try.
All right, sounds good to me. We'll have to make sure it matches our schedules, but
oh, absolutely. I mean, we'll figure it out. It's not going to be like this week or next week or anything like that. We've got a lot of weeks of wrestling coming up here, and we're going to be busy for the next little while. So, but I would love to try to step in a ring, take my very first bump, and tell you all how much it probably really hurts. Well, I guarantee it hurts. So the show kicked off with Bryce the Slammer Sova versus Plastic Pants Jordan Aries,
Calgary folk hero.
This was a lot of fun. These two are both really good crowd workers. Bryce Sova obviously plays a really good heel. He also plays a really good face, but his work recently in RCW as a heel has been really good. Really good at yelling at the crowd, really good at like kind of playing with their emotions when they want him to slam people and then he doesn't quite slam them. And then Plastic Pants Jordan Aries, I mean, what can we say about this guy? Obviously crowd favorite, one of the top faces in RCW, clearly based just on his reaction alone.
Oh, for sure. He's got the best chant in RCW too. Everyone knows it. Everyone loves chanting it. It is pure absurdity, but it gets the crowd going.
I'm going to challenge you on that one. Though I agree, Plastic Pants is a pretty good chant. Bento Box recently was a really, really good chant.
It was good, but it depends on if it's going to come back. Plastic Pants, the chant, has been around for the better part of almost 2 years now.
I don't remember when I first heard that chant, but I swear I must have first heard it at a CWE show.
It's got staying power.
It definitely has staying power, especially around the Calgary area. Yeah, like you said, kind of like a hero around here. But really, really good match. Wasn't quite my match of the night, but in terms of starting off a show, this one really got the crowd going really early on. So that made me really happy here. Sometimes, you know, shows don't necessarily always have like the loudest first match. But when you kind of start things off with Plastic Pants and Bryce Slammer Sova, you're going to have an instantly loud crowd, which is a great way to start the night.
Yeah, and they did some crazy stuff in here, right? Plastic Pants did that second rope springboard code red.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
Which was so smooth.
You know, it was really funny because at the end of this, I can't ever remember what Bryce Sova's finisher is. But he ended up picking up the win here. Spoilers now. Obviously, spoilers. This is a review. But he kind of won with like an F5. It was very Brock Lesnar-esque.
Yeah, and that was after he did the same thing into the ring post.
Yeah, he did a couple of big, heavy moves. But, I mean, he's the slammer, man. The guy picks you up and throws you around. And, like, obviously, Jordan Aries, a smaller gentleman compared to Bryce Sova. But, so, you know, he just goes flying. And he sells really well.
He does. It's one of his really strong suits. It's connecting with the crowd, and his selling ability really plays into that. His in-ring work has come a long way from where he was. I'd like to hear him talk a bit more.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would think that's actually almost what I would say for a lot of the roster in RCW. I think there's a couple of talents that get really a lot of talking time, which is perfect because obviously their characters are really good talkers. And obviously talking isn't necessarily the easiest thing for a lot of people. There's a comfortability factor. They're, you know, just being able to cut a promo ain't necessarily the easiest thing. But I definitely want to hear some more promos happen inside of RCW. I think promos are a really great way to drive a story, especially in live wrestling. But I mean, they got to get that mic fixed. the nightmare mic, or the wireless mic, came back during this show. So, but yeah. Anyway, so that was a really good match, though. Bryce Sova taking up the win there against Jordan Aries, and then we moved on into our next match. This was a really fun tag match: Christian Strife with Big Jess and Scott Lee Crew coming out, versus Kato and Tony Machete. So
the Asian Pacific Alliance.
Is that what they called it? So I thought I heard that, but it kind of cut out halfway through them saying it, so I wasn't necessarily sure if that's what they said.
Yeah, they said APA, Acolyte Protection Agency, was taken already.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't know, but I could totally see these guys sitting in the back, just, you know, Kato sitting there with his tail like wrapped around his shoulder or something like that. Tony Machete there smoking a cigar. They're both playing poker. People coming up is like, man, I need protection.
I don't know. I think they would be playing Go Fish or something like that.
That would be way better. But Christian Strife and Big Jess and Scott Lee Crew, I mean, obviously top talent. Such a fantastic like faction, man. I've always said it every time, but man, they're so good. They're such good talents, and I'm going to miss Scott Lee Crew. Can we talk about this quickly?
Yeah, sure.
Scott Lee Crew is leaving Alberta. He is headed back to the Maritimes, so he's going to have one last match inside of RCW, and we also know that there's going to be a goodbye party for him at the next Heart Legacy Wrestling Show, which will be taking place in March. I'm going to just go pop over quickly to the YYC Wrestling Hub to find out the exact date of when that show is. the 19th of March. Wait, no. 26th of March. I was looking at the wrong line. Man, look how great this website is. It's so easy to read. Look at this. Hey, look. Oh, wow. The Midget Wrestling Warriors just got updated into this as well, I've noticed.
Yeah, and CWA in May is in there as well.
Man, fantastic. Yeah, look at this. Everything's happening over at the YYC Wrestling Hub, everybody. So you guys got to go check that out. But so Scott Lee Crew is going to be leaving Calgary, but he's going to be having one last match against Steven Styles. And I'm going to miss Scott Lee Crew. I think the dude is one of the best outside the ring workers, like as a manager. Obviously, I've seen him wrestle just only a handful of times as of late, but he's such a good talent. And I think if he's heading out to the Maritimes, man, they're going to be picking up a really good talent.
They really are. We're going to have to do something for him before he leaves. Maybe we're going to have to get boxes of dog bones and throw them back at him.
Ooh, that sounds great. I mean, there's a pet value in my town here. I can swing by. And but this match was just Christian Strife and Big Jess, one of my favorite tag teams. They work so fluidly together. And talking about somebody who can work really good with the crowd, Big Jess, man, you can insult him all you want. And he doesn't get infected at all. He'll just like throw it right back at the crowd, and he can just win the crowd over. Just straight charisma. Like, man, I don't know if there's many people who can top Big Jess with just straight charisma.
No, he's so fun to watch.
No, he's absolutely. And he's in that weird position where he's like, he's definitely a face, but I can't hate him very much at all. And that's not it's not a knock on the fact that he's like a bad heel or anything. It's because he's just so charismatic that I just want to get behind him no matter what he does.
Yeah, I've always wanted to see him with championship gold.
What do you think? When do you think we're going to see some championship gold around his waist? Aside from the Top Talent Forever belt, the only belt that really matters, we'll just be honest.
I don't know. I could see Top Talent, Jess and Strife being the next challengers for the tag title.
I would love that. I think that could be really good. We could create some sort of new Top Talent prophecy inside of RCW where they're holding all the gold.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I haven't seen that recently, but it would be pretty cool to see. But so this was a really fun match. Though at the very end, as much as I always hate to see Top Talent lose, we got to see Tony Machete and Kato hit a super kick party to Big Jess, and Kato picks up the pin for 3. I don't know, man. Super kicks, I love them. They're such a lot of people talk about how they're kind of just like overused and overseen as of late. I get that because I definitely see a lot of super kicks, but I don't know what about super kicks it is, but I never get bored of them.
No, they're so fun. And even though they've become a little bit like the clothesline where it's a transitional move, they have something about the thigh slap and the intensity of it. And even the silhouette of it is just so iconic that you can't help but pop for it.
And it looks like it's such a hardcore move to take because like everybody in Alberta is super good at hitting the super kick. Like I can't really remember the last time I saw a bad super kick around here, but when you see a bad super kick though, like I can see why people don't enjoy the super kick, because when you don't hit it, it looks ridiculous.
Oh yeah, it really does.
But I'm always really excited to see them happen around here. Those, and same thing like with suicide dives. I always talk about how much I'm not necessarily a big fan of suicide dives, but when it happens in live wrestling and like the crowd is right there, I always pop for it, because it's not like the WWE where there's so much space between the barricade and the ring. Like there's like 2, maybe 3 feet between that and like the barricade and the ring inside like a live wrestling show. So every suicide dive actually feels like it's probably going to really hurt no matter what happens.
Yeah, and the possibility of the wrestler ending up in your lap in the front row is, it's high.
Yeah, that's very true. If you guys want, like, a fun show with interaction, go to a wrestling show. If you don't want that, go to a wrestling show. Just don't sit in the first 3 rows. And then you're
sit in the back.
Yeah, sit in the back, enjoy it. Have some popcorn. But don't ever sit in the front row if you don't want to be interactive.
Yeah, that's it, especially at an RCW show with top talent.
Yeah, especially with top talent, because they're just going to shit on you no matter what happens.
but there was a really cool moment in here where Machete, he held Strife up for a long stalling suplex.
How long do you think that was? And not only that, but he also hit a single squat after it as well.
Yeah, he did a squat during the middle of it while he's holding him up. It was probably 15, 20 seconds.
Yeah, that's what I would have guessed, is at least 15 seconds. That was crazy. But like, you see Tony Machete. The dude is fairly built, I would say, to be simplistic about it. Dude's ripped.
Dude is strong.
Dude's crazy ripped. Yeah, he's very strong. And I know I'm like slightly taller than him, and I'm not necessarily the tallest guy, but he's got like that presence and aura around him. It's like, I don't want to mess with this guy ever.
No, but, he's only getting better every show, and it's wrestling with guys like Heavy Metal and Big Jess, which is just bringing him to that next level. And it's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about Heavy Metal having his own school up in Edmonton.
Yeah. Like, we both love Heavy Metal, and we know what it feels like to try to open up like a brand new school. He's starting up his school. So it's on April 2nd now. He sent me a message today. He's not opening it up on April 1st. He said that too many people were untrustworthy of him because he's Heavy Metal, obviously, and they thought it was some sort of rib, probably. But yeah, so he's opening it. First day is going to be April 2nd. It's going to be up in Edmonton. I would love to swing by that school one of these days, man. Like, next time I'm up in Edmonton, unfortunately, the doors aren't going to be opened until after the PWA show. So it'll be after I'm, not the next time I'm in Edmonton, but the time after that, I'm definitely going to be swinging by that school.
Yeah, even just to check it out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I just want to go check it out, see what it's like. The Bane trainers right now they have listed are going to be Heavy Metal himself, but not only that, but the original Marky is going to be one of the head trainers there as well. And those two, I'm not going to dive into it too much right now, but the main event to this was Heavy Metal versus the original Marky. And if you want to learn how to wrestle, these two can teach you how to wrestle.
Oh, that they can.
It's
just, they have so much wealth of knowledge that I can't wait to see these guys that go there, how much they improve and how quickly they get out onto the indie scene.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be, and now obviously the Landstorm is gone, like the training schools in and around Alberta. We've got obviously a few workhorses going to be working so super closely with RCW down here in Calgary. We've got PPW, which does their training schools down in Lethbridge. We've had, you know, MPW up in Edmonton, and now we're going to have Heavy Metals Academy up in Edmonton as well. So, like, if you want to learn how to wrestle and you're in Alberta, there's going to be no, shortage of places to learn how to train, even without Landstorm here. So let's move into the next match, which is going to be Derek Cross versus the Knight of the Apocalypse, Kota. So this one is an interesting. I want to start this one off by talking about the crowd reaction. So Derek Cross came out as the heel, making Kota the face in this. But I think the crowd disagreed with Kota being the face in this. I felt like it was almost like a heel versus heel match.
Yeah.
But it was a fun little match, obviously. I really like Derek Cross. Cross working as of late. So the whole storyline with him in 2020 is that he's winning matches against opponents who you would consider higher ranked than him, I guess you could say, with these kind of like fluky wins. But he's 3-0. That was the whole storyline into going into this. It's Derek Cross is so good he can't lose.
Yeah, I don't think they're flukes. I mean, he's getting the results.
Yes. Well, we could talk.
He might just be outthinking everyone.
That's how it is. It's ring psychology type thing. So we could say that they're flukes, but Derrick Cross was brilliant. So this was a really good match. But the really important thing kind of happened at the end. Derrick Cross, using his ring psychology, obviously knowing what it takes to beat Kota, because Kota doesn't lose, definitely doesn't get pinned very often. But Kota took the loss in this from countout. Derrick Cross stole Kota's like antler hat thing. I don't know necessarily what you would call that, the post-apocalyptic antler mask, and gave it to a kid in the audience. Like, just literally, like, he was running around the ring, so, like, Kota was chasing him, and then he gives this mask to a kid, like, puts it on, like, a kid's head, so, like, Kota has to, like, walk around the side of the ring and, like, get the mask off the kid, but by the time he was done doing that, the 10 count was up, and Derrick Cross is back in the ring, gets the count-out victory for Derrick Cross getting the win over Kota. That's making it, yeah, so now he's 3 wins in 2020, 0 losses. I guess, I mean, yeah, that's a really good record. He should be up for a title shot here probably pretty soon.
He should be. He should probably challenge for the British Commonwealth.
Ooh, man. I'm excited to talk about that and what happened with that match here in a little bit. But there is one match that separates us in that match and then another match. So there's two matches that separate us between that match. So congratulations to Derrick Cross outsmarting Kota and getting the count out victory. Next, we move into the 6-man tag match. Now, this match was, as far as I understood from the last show, originally going to be Maverick Jack versus Tasty Travis Cole, but Tasty Travis Cole wasn't there. Maverick Jack made the announcement. Obviously, he hurt him too much. He wasn't going to be able to attend tonight. And there was supposed to be a women's match that was happening, but then he intercepted somebody backstage, used his politicking, and then changed the women's match into a big 6-man tag matches. I believe that was what he said.
Yeah, that's the gist of what I caught in between the mic cutting out.
Yeah, so that's what we should say around that. Unfortunately, there was a problem with the mic cutting in and out. I think until that mic is fixed, they should just stick with that cord mic. But at the same time, there was even issues with people stepping on the cord in that one. That's like literally the worst part of the show was the mic problems again, but otherwise still a fantastic show. I love RCW.
Yeah, so this one had a RCW debut in Calgary as well.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, recently, like just recently signed into RCW. I don't know, last time he never wrestled down here in Calgary, has he?
I've never seen him before.
No, I've never seen wrestle in Calgary yet either. So let's talk about this. So, but we had on one team, we had Maverick Jack, who obviously made his return at the last show, attacking Tasty Travis Cole. We had headline Sean Martins, and obviously Alex Zwicker. I always want to say the Beast from the East, but I'm like, the Masterpiece from the East, right? That's what it is. I wanted a Beast from the East. I'm trying to think of like old R.L. Stine novels and stuff.
It was great to see Alex Zwicker pop up here.
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen her wrestle in Calgary personally since the PWA Battle at the Dome show. So, and she's really talented. I really like Alex Zwicker. I think she's got really good character work. So I was really happy to see her wrestling. Yeah.
Plus, the pairing with Sean Martins is a really good one.
Yeah, they both work really well together because they both kind of have that same, like, I'm clearly better than you look and vibe to them. So they gelled really well together. And even Maverick Jack felt pretty good into this. Like, they felt like a really kind of solid 3-man team.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it sticks or if they're going to split them up and go back to Maverick Jack versus Travis Cole and then have Sean Martins and Alex Zwicker do their own thing.
I would be okay with that. I just really want to see a lot more Alex Zwicker because, like I said, she's really good and I don't get a chance to see her around here very often. But let's talk about that debut in Calgary. So we had the debuting KB6. So this is my first ever KB6 match that I got to see wrestle live. Dude's got serious charisma and incredible confidence and a really good look. I love his hair. And with KB6, we had Kylie Morgan, who made her debut at the last show at Wrestling Ain't Easy, who's going to be facing Rosemary from Impact Wrestling. It's on March 20th, correctly? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, on the 20th.
Yeah.
She'll be facing Rosemary and the Styles Scotland match.
Yes, that's right. Yes, sorry. I'm very excited for that show. I'm going to be at that show, obviously. I don't like to miss any RCW or PWA or any Calgary wrestling shows if I can. So I'm pretty much at all of them. and yes, so the third member of this 6-man tag, we had the Cheetah Bear, Jude Dawkins. And I really love the Cheetah Bear. I still think that the look of the Cheetah Bear is hands down one of the best if not the best in Alberta wrestling. The dude looks like he could be in any major promotion and just fit.
Oh, he looks like a madman.
He looks like a madman. But not only that, but like he's got like really good charisma as well. Like he's really good at working the crowd. Like if there's like a part where he needs to build like the crowd up, he'll like stomp his feet and stuff. Though we're gonna have to talk him down a little bit in this, watching Kylie Morgan get her ass beat and just standing on the side of the ring. Come on, Cheetah Bear.
Yeah, 3-on-1. He's completely fresh just watching.
Obviously, the whole story of this was about getting the Cheetah Bear the hot tag. For the whole like majority of this entire match, Cheetah Bear didn't wrestle until near the end. But KB6 and Kylie Morgan went back and forth doing really good work pretty much against a three-man team of Maverick Jack, Shawn Martins, Alex Wicker, who the best of their revival their revival ability, their massive tagging, their Arn Anderson and Tully, just like they're just serious clinics in tag team wrestling, constantly making tags, keeping two or three people in the ring essentially at all times.
Yeah, it was really well done. It was a well-executed six-man tag. It's what you would expect out of it. The heels getting the upper hand, isolating both KB6 and Kylie Morgan, and then Cheetah Bear coming in cleaning house.
So when Cheetah Bear did come in, like I think the entire spot for the Cheetah Bear in this entire thing was that he did 10 cannonballs. And that was really fun to watch because doing one cannonball must be tiring. I mean, could you imagine running back and forth between corner to corner doing 10 cannonballs? That would suck. After seven, he was like, how many? How many was that? So, like, I yelled from the crowd. I'm like, seven. He's like, three more.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that the 10 more slams chant in that that gauntlet match that Cheetah Bear had won and was given a title opportunity, which I'm not sure if he's taken yet. The 10 more slams chant has evolved into this thing where all of the wrestlers want to be able to do 10 of their favorite moves.
Yeah. So I don't know. 10 cannonballs doesn't, I don't feel it had quite the same effect as 10 slams, but I don't know if I could see like Cheetah Bear doing 10 slams. I think that'd be really amazing.
it's a lot of fun to watch.
It's a preference thing. Yeah, well, I mean, it took about a minute to watch the 10 different cannonballs, but that's just because you have to run back and forth so much. But I still really enjoyed this. This was really good. And I like how this match ended. We ended up having Alex Wicker hitting her DDT on Kylie Morgan at the end, getting the pin. So you and me were talking about this, and we're like, okay, well, we know that Kylie Morgan is going to be facing Angelica at the next show. It's Kylie Morgan's second match in. I was kind of confused that she was the one who ended up taking the pin in this.
Yeah, she's actually facing Rosemary at the next show.
What did I say?
Not Angelica.
I'm thinking PPW down south. She faced Angelica for the chance to face Rosemary.
Yeah, it was an odd one, but also the story kind of that played out was she was isolated. She was beat down by two men and Alex Wicker for the majority of the match, and then ended up losing.
Yeah. So it wasn't like it was a quick or easy loss. Kylie Morgan got whooped, unfortunately. So,
oh, yeah. She battled the whole way.
Yeah, she sure did. But congratulations to Alex Wicker, Maverick Jack, and Headline Shawn Martins for picking up the win in this match. And next we moved on to an interesting match because this one we thought both it was going to be a Steven Styles versus Katana one-on-one match, but this ended up being a tag match.
Yeah. Fernando Valentino
with
came out.
Katana. Yeah, I did not know who this gentleman was.
I didn't know who he was either. But then Steven Styles made the big announcement. Here comes Sweet Daddy Soul. And it was great to see Sweet Daddy Soul back with RCW. Because he had that broken leg a while ago. Mm-hmm. Came back for one match and then disappeared and popped up at Heart Legacy Wrestling. But he's back with RCW full time now.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. Nobody loves their theme song more than Sweet Daddy Soul loves his. I think that's pretty comfortable to say.
Yeah, former champion back too.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that. What championship do you know?
It was the Canadian championship.
Oh wow,
it's the one that Heavy Metal has now.
Congratulations! Wow, I got to do some more research on Sweet Daddy Soul. I don't know too much about him, but he's really good and. I really enjoyed this match. It was a bit of a shorter match, and we ended up having the faces Steven Styles tapping out Fernando Valentino. I was kind of hoping that Steven Styles was going to get his hands on Katana and just start whooping his ass, but I think they're saving that, man. They only teased at this during this match.
Yeah, that's an interesting story. You've got the background of Steven Styles busting up Katana's knee. You've got the backstory of Steven Styles training when he was first breaking in as a wrestler. There's a long history between those two.
Yeah, and I think they're probably saving that for something a little bit bigger than today was or what Friday was. I mean, I was really excited to see the one-on-one and just see them just kill each other. But they're saving it, man. They're smart. They know that I want that. So they're just going to be like, here's a little taste. Now come back next. I'm like, damn it.
it might be one of their two anniversary shows in May.
I would love to see this match as one of the anniversary show matches. I think the whole, like you said, the whole storyline going into this match is like, it's so beautiful. I'm a big fan of storylines. I do love great top-notch wrestling, but like, I don't think anything hooks me more than like a really good story. And like, just from a personal standpoint. So we'll see how that will go for that next show. But let's talk this next match. Quickest match, but this is the story that is my top RCW storyline right now. I'm so excited for this. Let's talk D'Dwight Davis versus Matt Hart for the RCW Commonwealth Championship, the British Commonwealth Championship. So we have a new champion, D'Dwight Davis, pinning Matt Hart clean, obviously. Right? Clean?
Yeah. After he won that five-man scramble last show.
Yeah. That was a good, clean win there. But
good, clean win there. Good, clean win here.
Yes. Technically, as far as the match started, from when the bell rang to him picking up the victory against Matt Hart, there was no shenaniganry. However, before the match, we could say that there was some shenaniganry from D'Dwight Davis. So we'll get it started. So D'Dwight Davis and Matt Hart come out. Same theme song, obviously. Like brothers, they come to the middle of the ring. They handshake, they hug, they congratulate, or they, say good luck to one another. And the referee
starts patting down D'Dwight Davis, and D'Dwight Davis must have felt his hand creep up a little bit.
Yeah. It
throws him out of the ring. Referee's out of the match.
Yeah, it starts. So the ref is down. He's claiming, like, the ref touched him. But so we had Vinny Fever come in. He's just like, dude, you attacked the ref. Do you not want this match to happen? Do you not want your championship opportunity? And we had Ronnie, D'Dwight Davis' ex-wife there. And he makes her special guest referee for this.
Uh-oh.
All right, dude, let's talk about what happened here. So before the match starts, we had Ronnie in the ring, and she hands D'Dwight Davis the championship title. While Matt has his back turned, he takes the title. Matt turns around, clonk, smacks him with the title. Matt Hart goes down. Ronnie rings the bell, or starts the bell. D'Dwight Davis gets on top of Matt, pins him. Super fast, kind of like three count. We have our new RCW Commonwealth Champion, ending Matt Hart's reign at, I believe it was in the 60-day range.
Somewhere in there, it was the Stampede Screwjob.
The Stampede Screwjob. Is that what we're going to nickname this? Because I like that.
I don't know. It's submissions are open. Tweet at us.
Yes, if you would like to name this feud. But, dude, I'm so excited. So we just got a heel turn from D'Dwight Davis. I want to see where this is going. There's the re-involvement of his ex-wife. What's going on with Ditch the Bitch? I guess this is the end of...
Hard to Kill.
Hard to Kill, thank you. So what are we going to be seeing? How does this feud culminate? What do you expect to see happening at the next show?
I think they're going to try to... keep Matt away from it a little bit. Play a little bit of keep away from him. Matt will be enraged. He'll be coming in out of the crowd, attacking D'Dwight Davis whenever he has a chance.
Do you think we're going to be seeing D'Dwight Davis doing any matches early on with the defense, or do we think we're going to be seeing kind of like a lot of those like promos, we're not going to wrestle, and then Matt shows up, and then he like chases them off kind of thing? Like, how do you think this is going to continue?
Well, I hope that D'Dwight Davis and his wife come out and defend against other guys, but Matt Hart's not going to take too kindly to him defending against other guys.
Yeah,
he's going to attack him before the match. He's going to attack him during matches. He's going to attack him after the match.
I'm just super excited to see where this storyline goes. I'm just, it, like you said, it's one of those ones. I love betrayal. I love to see this kind of thing, like beautiful tag teams just kind of explode. There's just something poetic about it, and I'm very hooked.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
In my notes here, I wrote, and new! then we had our intermission, and we move into our final two matches of the night. We had our tag team champions, recently crowned since our last show, because they won it at the show after Wrestling Ain't Easy. Our tag team champions, the Canadian Goose, Kyle Shaw, honk honk, alongside Dead Zone. Now, I'll be 100% honest, I don't know too much about Dead Zone. I have never seen him wrestle in Calgary personally, but he's a really good wrestler. I really enjoyed him. And I obviously love the Canadian Goose. And they were taking on Viking Rage, and I guess in their first title defense, at least here in Calgary anyways.
So yeah, it was a good match. It was consistent with what I would have expected out of these teams. You had some good moments out of Dead Zone and Canadian Goose.
Yep.
Viking Rage working well as a team, getting the upper hand, and eventually you had the hot babyface comeback from Goose and Dead Zone.
Yeah, they ended up getting the win. Kyle really trying to work over the crowd, or Kyle Shaw, the Canadian Goose, truly trying to work the crowd over and get them on their side during this match. But yeah, we ended up having Dante taking the pin in this, and something else happened. Another tag team being dissolved, it looks like, before perhaps another one being created. We had Vince Austin talking down to Dante, going like, hey, what's going on? Why did you lose? You lose again. And he attacks Dante. Dante ain't taking any of this. Fights back, gets the crowd behind him, when suddenly we had Bryce the Slammer Sova come back out. So I guess we're going to be and help Vince Austin take out Dante. So I guess we have a new tag team.
Yeah, and Vince Austin did hit the pile driver on Dante onto the magical orb.
That's right. I totally forgot to write that down here. That was beautiful. That looked terrifying for him. I really hope his head's okay.
Looked brutal.
It did look really brutal. So I guess we're going to have a face Dante now as well, because like as he was leaving, he was getting a bit of a face pop. That'll be really interesting to see. I'm curious how they're going to be moving forward with Dante, but I really hope they're going to be doing something good with him.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what they do with him.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure the Harry Oreo look, as the one guy in the crowd yells, is necessarily a face look.
Harry Oreo.
But I hope he finds something, because I think Dante is a good wrestler. Maybe a future partner for someone like Matt Hart.
That's a good possibility. I got to see Dante wrestle the one-on-one down there in PPW when I went down for the Power Rumble, and he had a one-on-one match against the big sexy beast Bradley Graham. And the guys can work both really good 1v1 matches. So like in terms of a singles career, I'd be interested to see what happens with Dante. But let's talk a little bit about Vince Austin and Bryce Sinersova, who I have no doubts are going to do some amazing stuff. The Death Squad. I'm not necessarily convinced on the name personally, especially after we just had the Death Triangle come out. There's a lot of death happening. Together, I really like the look of them. They both look very legit and very scary, but I don't know. Death Squad. I think you just have to let me sit in for a bit. I think that happens a lot with tag teams. You're just like, I don't know if I like it the first couple of times I hear it, but then you hear it enough, you're like, yeah, well, that's obviously them. Death Squad. But anyways, yeah, so we have the Canadian Goose and Dead Zone retain. And then we moved into our main event of the night. This was my match of the night. This was an incredible freaking match. We had the original Marky taking on Heavy Metal. Heavy Metal trying to defend his championship. Comes to the ring in 3 belts. Can we just talk about how many belts that Heavy Metal has and how they look so good on him?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's got the Top Talent belt.
Yeah, Top Talent Forever belt.
One of the best looking belts in wrestling today.
It's one of the top.
He's got the RCW Canadian Heavyweight Championship, which he defends with his life.
He loves that belt like a child.
Like this was his 24th or 25th title defense since he won it in June or August last year.
Holy crap. Has it been that many at this point?
Yeah. 24, 25 maybe, and the list goes on. Like, it's a list of just who's who in Alberta wrestling, even international. You've got Silas Young in there.
Yeah, that's true.
You've got Marky, you've got KB6, you've got Slammer, you've got Tyler Colton, Sean Martins, Mitch Clark, Rich King,
Ozzy Legend,
Joey Ryan. It's the list is insane as to who he's defended this title against in this reign.
That blows.
No title means more than this title right now.
No, that's very true. And we got to say that this match, because this was original Marky versus Heavy Metal, it's a rematch that I guess they had up in Edmonton last month. And oh man, I'm so glad they did the rematch in Calgary for us, because this match was so good.
It
and my
fantastic.
Spot of the night ended the show. We'll talk about that when we get to it. But the third belt that Heavy Metal had was also the Slammer belt that he picked up off of Bryce the Slammer Sova. So he comes out wearing three belts, just looking incredibly legit. People trying to give him like two sweets and high five him in the crowd wouldn't give any of them any love. However, when he saw Mitch in the crowd wearing his brand new T-shirt that he picked up from Top Talent, he got like an air two sweet from the from Heavy Metal
from the champ,
from the champ. Only person
it's
to get
it's hard
that.
To give two sweets when you're carrying two belts in your hands.
It's yeah, and then another one around your waist. It's a lot of metal, guys. It's a lot of heavy metal around his waist. Oh, that was terrible. But let's just so this match was just it felt like great storytelling, amazing spot after spot. It was so spot heavy that I literally couldn't remember most of the spots except for some of the major ones. But like I remember this match took like at least what 20 minutes at least, maybe longer actually. I'm trying to think. I was trying to think what time we got out of there.
In that 20 minute range. Yeah. I wouldn't say it necessarily went significantly over that.
No.
But it was somewhere in that 18, 19, 20, 22 minute range.
Yeah, somewhere in that 5 minute area kind of thing there. But can we just talk about it right now? Can we just talk about the finishing move that Heavy
No, let's talk about the spot to the outside first.
Okay. Okay. Oh, you're right. Okay, yeah, that one's also incredibly worth talking about. So, barricades are made of metal. Thick, aggressive, heavy metal. So how would it feel like getting slammed through one and bending one underneath you? I imagine
it would hurt a lot.
We should ask Marky, because that happened in this match. So we had Heavy Metal go out to the outside, and he's fighting with Marky, and he knocks Marky down. And he's like, looks over at the barricade there, picks up this metal barricade. He starts telling the crowd, obviously, to move. So like security's like moving everybody. Picks up this barricade, rests it on the other side of the aisle, from one barricade to the ring, kind of like leaving like of a plant, like a plank of metal, essentially. Picks up Marky, in kind of like a shoulderman's carry-esque position.
Yeah, it looked a lot like the White Noise.
Yeah.
The move that Sheamus used to do.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. I don't know what the name was called, but that's a great look for it. Yeah, like the White Noise throws him off of his shoulder, but holds him and just like slams him into the barricade. So from where I was sitting, at first, I thought the barricade slipped off the other barricade and it just fell and he went like face first into the floor. It wasn't until I stood up and I saw the bend in the barricade and I went, oh no, the barricade didn't slide off the other barricade. He just bent the shit out of a metal barricade by going through
it. Yeah, it became a corner barricade.
They brought the barricade, so we just got to say this, so they brought the barricade to the other room during the match. So like after this spot happened and everything got cleaned up and thankfully, Marky was okay. They brought this barricade to the other room, and I saw them trying to, like, straighten the barricade, and took, like, three people, like, just trying to, like, hold it down, people, like, trying to jump on it. It took one Marky to go through it.
Yes, it was unbelievable.
It took a Marky to go through the Marky. Oh, that's a bad joke. I'm just full of them tonight. But, so that was unbelievable. Marky is like the Mick Foley of Alberta wrestling. He just will let you do what you want to do to him as long as it looks amazing.
Yeah, he's a very generous wrestler.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. An incredibly generous wrestler. Being thrown off the top rope and suplexed into the ring, or a Steiner screwdriver.
I couldn't believe
I
saw a Steiner screwdriver.
So Heavy Metal, the match is almost over. Heavy Metal picks up Original Marky in like a standing suplex, holds him there, puts him in front, and just he drops him, grabs his back, kind of folds the legs, lands him on his neck, and everybody in the audience literally jumped off from like sitting position to like jumping standing position and just went, oh!
It was unbelievable. It was also some really good misdirection by Marky, because just before it, he hit Heavy Metal with this spear mm-hmm. and rolled out of the ring and ran around the outside, around the barricade, going, I'm going to hit the jackhammer. He gets in the ring, and then, nope, Steiner screwdriver.
Nope. Yeah, so there's the proof that you can't just always go out into the crowd and get as much cheers as you want, because you give Heavy Metal too much time, he'll just destroy you. Because, yeah, once Marky comes back to the ring, it starts with the super kick, and then, boom, Steiner screwdriver. And the match was over, but it was a beautiful match. It told such a good story. Clearly my match of the night. Man, these two are just a fucking delight, man.
They really are. And Heavy Metal hit the Steiner screwdriver the next night, too, on Dylan Stone.
Oh, did he?
So it might be a regular thing in his moveset now.
Oh, God, I really hope so, because he hit it beautifully. He hit it better than, like, early days Scott Steiner. Like, I went back and watched some of the videos of Scott hitting that screwdriver, and he hit it very rough. But Heavy Metal? Nah. Nah, not even a little bit. Smooth as hell. Freaking loved it. But so congratulations to Heavy Metal retaining once again. And that does put the end for the RCW Cruel Intentions show. Overall, great show. I don't think it was quite, if I'm being completely honest, quite up there with Wrestling Ain't Easy, their last show. But like that was like a show of the year contender for me, in my opinion. Like that show was just, it was tops from top to bottom. It was hard to beat that show.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah. So thank you again, Paul, for joining me here today. So where can people find you? What is the YYC Wrestling Hub? Plug your stuff, my friend.
So the YYC Wrestling Hub, you can find us on Twitter at YYC Wrestling Hub. We're really easy to find. We love to engage with people, ask us questions, talk to us, send us GIFs of wrestlers in your area wrestling. We love it. We will always engage with you on Twitter. You can also find us on our website, yycwrestlinghub.com. It is currently a listing of the events in Alberta, happening in Alberta. There's a calendar. There are event pages that include links to buy tickets, match cards, everything you need to know to get out there and watch wrestling.
It's crazy when you're looking at it. I'm looking at the page right now, and I'm just looking at the page for March alone in Alberta and wrestling, and there's like 20 shows almost. Like, that's insane. That's just March in Alberta. Blows my mind. We've got so much cool stuff happening here. But thank you again, my friend. I hope you have yourself a wonderful day, and I'm sure I'll be hearing from you again very soon.
Absolutely.
Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye.
A huge thank you once again to Paul from the YYC Wrestling Hub for joining me today. We got to talk some RCW. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking some PWA Revelation, which took place on Saturday. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. 2 days of content in a row. Calgary had some incredible wrestling this weekend. I can't wait to share all of that with you. Another couple of quick things here for you. WrestleSode.com has gotten an incredible facelift. So if you could please take a second, go over to WrestleSode.com. Let me know what you think. If there's anything you would like to see added to the site, things you'd like to see changed, or things that you don't think are good, please let me know. I'm in the stage of just building the site, so I could use all their critique and feedback that I could possibly get. As well, Moments Fest is going to be taking place in Siksika Nation on May 8th and 9th. It's going to be a music festival for the youth of the Siksika Nation. The Siksika Nation is about 100 kilometers east of Calgary, and I will be there. RCW is going to be putting on a 6-match card on May 8th as well, so I've been invited to do media for that event. So I hope to see all of you there. I will be doing giveaways for some tickets here in the next couple of weeks, so stay tuned for that. And once again, everybody, thank you so much for listening today. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit that subscribe button and that like button. If it really helps out the show, if you left us a 5-star rating and review, if that is what you want to do, hit like, whatever it takes, you guys. Any little thing that you do really does go a long way to helping out the show. So whatever you want to do. Thank you again, and I'll chat with you soon.